This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, February 1st. Well, there's a lot to talk about in the wheat space and in the broader grain space as well, as we're coming off a week of some impressive gains, especially in the row crops. For wheat, we had Chicago up 12, Kansas City was up 13, Minneapolis up just 7, corn was up 47, and soybeans up 56. So corn clearly is our leader here. That's what's pulling Chicago higher, and it's going to pull Kansas City higher. And then, of course, Minneapolis kind of just being mostly an observer here. But we're looking at just massive China demand for corn and soybeans too, but corn was definitely the winner last week, where for the week, China bought 6.3 million tons of U.S. corn. On Friday alone, they bought 2.1 million tons of corn. That was the largest sale for a one day, second largest sale in one day for U.S. corn. So year-to-date, marketing year-to-date, China has bought 18.1 million tons of U.S. corn. There's another almost 8 million tons of unknown, largely presumed to be mostly China. That puts them at 22 million tons of corn purchased just from the United States. Soybeans aren't so far behind either. They've been very aggressive buyers of soybeans as well, mostly earlier in the season, but we're still trickling that in. We see that Brazil, of course, is the northern part of Brazil is in their soybean harvest period, but it's been raining and that has delayed them. And they got delayed because of dryness early in the season and that delayed plantings, but now we're getting some rain there, which is also causing some further delay. So the Brazil soybean harvest is only at 1.5%. Normally, they're about 7.5% done. They're still projecting that they're going to have record production out of Brazil, and that's largely because they have record acres. The growing season itself has not been that great of a season to justify record yields. Corn planting for the second season, for the second crop, is at 2.1%. Normally they're at 15.5%. That's the slowest start to Safrina corn planting since 2011. There are some concerns that some acres may not get in at all because of the lateness. You usually are pushing that planting window, or no, the growing season window, deeper into when it tends to dry out for Brazil. And that's the concern about getting it in so late for the second season crop. And of course, that was delayed because of the delayed soybean planting and now the delayed soybean harvest. For world wheat offers, Russian FOB offers are up $3 a ton from last week. We're at $2.99 to $3.02. The Ukraine was down two at $2.92. And the United States was up $13 a ton for hard red winter wheat out of the Gulf. Black Sea feed wheat was down two at $2.91. So seeing kind of a stabilizing of Black Sea wheat offers. And I think that's part of, in the U.S. futures market, what we're seeing here this morning is the market is lower. And I think that's part of that, just the stabilization on the world market. Feed grain prices, of course, continue to rocket higher. That's led by corn. And obviously that's going to be pulling more feed wheat into the mixtures as well. We see in China that their government auctions, they've sold everything that they've offered the last 2 weeks. That's highly unusual. Normally they hardly sell anything because it's usually a very low quality wheat, but the feed manufacturers stepping up, buying everything they can. And that says two things. Obviously the demand for feed grain is huge and they're willing to pull wheat back into that channel, and that China is aggressively selling its government stocks. And so they're probably going to want to be coming back in and replacing those stocks, probably in the more near future rather than delayed. So we have some other news from Russia. Of course, we are aware of the €25 a ton tax that starts February 15th. That was announced a couple months ago. Then about a month ago, they started talking about an additional tax because the first one didn't seem to stimulate any farmer selling, domestic farmer selling. So then they slapped on a €50 tax per ton starting March 1st. Now they're talking about continuing a tax into the new year. So starting well, almost into the New Year. So starting June 1st, the scuttle is that they will have a 70 euro per ton tax on any price over $200 per ton. Well, their offers over the weekend were pegged at right at $300 a ton. So there's, you know, $100 a ton that would be taxed at 70 euros per ton. So just the 70 euro a ton equates to about 228 per bushel US dollars. At $200 a ton, you're already starting at 546. So anything above $200 a ton FOB offer immediately becomes 774 per ton. And anything on top of that, over $200, just gets added on to that. So effectively, this just shuts down Russian offers. And the government is trying to provoke the farmer into selling wheat, realizing that there's no other channel for their wheat to go other than the domestic market. And if that's the case, so domestic prices would drop, which would help the export FOB, but still you've got a 70 euro a ton offer that late in the year. So farmers who are thinking about holding that late in the year to see what the new crop looks like, they are going to be penalized significantly for that. And so this is, again, trying to stimulate these farmers to move the wheat out of the bins. There's really not a shortage of wheat in Russia. The problems stem from the southern region, which is where almost all of the exportable supplies come from. They had a short crop. They had some weather late in the season that shaved back production. Well, the exporters had already committed significant amounts of that presumed production. So they had to move further inland to originate wheat to fill their export contracts. That bumped up domestic prices to record highs, bread and flour prices record highs. So the government stepped in, said, okay, we're going to tax. Instead of just putting an export embargo, they taxed it. Well, the first 25 euro a ton did nothing to stimulate farmer selling. So then they slapped another 50. That really hasn't done much either. But at $70 a ton that you know you're going to be facing above $200 late in the year, that's at a time when you normally would be cleaning out your bins if you have a good crop coming, that's just not going to happen. So the odds are that the Russian farmer is going to move some wheat out, and we'll see if they actually impose that $70 a ton tax. They're also talking about having some sort of quota or a tax on new crop exports as well. So the Russian government is just putting the hammer down to the farmer and to the exporter. You know, whether they can afford that or not is questionable, because, you know, this is a significant amount of foreign revenue coming into the country. But nevertheless, that is obviously, they'd rather have manageable bread and flour prices rather than the revenue. Either way, it's a loss for them. So there, again, there's a lot going on in the grain space, and in particular wheat. You know, here we've got good moisture in the Midwest for soft red wheat, not so good moisture in the western part of the plains for hard red winter wheat. You've got spring wheat, of course, that still has yet to be planted, and it's staring down the barrel of a battle for acres for corn and soybeans. You've got sky-high bean and corn prices, and the government insurance guarantee rate is going to be set soon, and at these high levels you're covering a significant portion, if not all, of your operating cost for growing costs for these two crops. So the incentive to plant corn and beans is huge, and I think spring wheat is going to be the loser here. So throw a little dry weather on top of that and you've got a major market going, but just by itself I think there's going to be a significant drop in spring wheat acres. So that's probably a sleeper market here. If you're looking at spreads or options, that would be, I think, a focus. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities. You can reach me at 1-800-888-9843.